1 Corinthians 12:1. 1 Corinthians 12. If there's a meeting you shouldn't come late for, it's a believer's meeting. Because you will ask the wrong questions. Are they drunk with real wine? You are likely going to ask such questions. But if you were there, you know, when it was fully come, you won't ask the wrong questions. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, there is a rebirth of the charismatic gifts, or called the charismatic renewal around Africa. I perceive outside Nigeria, it's going to begin from Ghana. A strange one. Ghana. And very legitimate. Now there'll be some excesses, but you know something? One of the reasons why God by privilege gave us information is so that we can manage the excesses. But really, I'd rather have an excess than an absence. Fred Price once said, Dr. Fred Price, he said, I'd rather you speak in fake tongues than no tongues at all. Now don't get him wrong. You know, basically, God is supernatural and have that right attitude. You must have a right attitude to the supernatural. And don't be friends with people that play down on it. Don't be friends with them. Don't be friends with anyone who plays down the supernatural. Should not be your friend. Should not be your friend. You should have friends that can stand with you and stay with you in the flow of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Amen. The practice of the Spirit. All right. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have ignorance. Now, we said last week that is deliberate ignorance. And not that they didn't have information. It was dealing with something in particular. And we said that it's not that they never had the gifts in operation at all. Because in chapter 1 verse 7, he says they came behind in no gift. But what he was referring to here will be seen in 14, and that has to do with the way the gifts operate, you know, in the church. Because we mustn't get to a point where we think we have mastered the knowledge of the things of the Spirit. I'm always very careful of that myself, because you can always think, oh well, it's tongue interpretation, right? Or you say it's a Holy Ghost meeting. And the truth about the knowledge of God's word is this. When you hear it again, there's a freshness to it. That freshness is an attitude. It's your attitude that actually makes God's word revelation. It's an attitude. So he says, I will not be ignorant, because they had to practice the things of the Spirit properly. And so it's vital that we see that, you know. Now notice something very close, that they were not sharing charisma for the first time. So what did Paul do? He first of all, in chapter 12, he re-emphasized those truths. He re-emphasized them. He just said them again, restated them. I've observed this too amongst the charismatic that I know. If something is not taught over and over again, it loses the flavor. The practice of the things of the Spirit are vital. The teaching is equally vital and important. Very vital. I remember a preacher once said this. He was holding a meeting. There he talked about the move of the Holy Ghost. I was in the meeting. It was 1997. And he said emphatically that we shouldn't zero it down to the healing gifts, the healing ministry, or the gifts of healing, pardon me. That the revelation gives the utterance. And he was very emphatic. You know, in that emphasis, that we should always look at the things of the Spirit. And he said that, but you know something? Because I know that the gifts of healings are the most, call it the most attractive. You're using, because it deals with nature. And anything that alters nature is always astonishing. He seems to now major on it. Such that, now I'm not being judgmental, but I observed that when it came to the utterance and then the revelation gift, it wasn't pronounced. Why? Because he didn't continue teaching what he was saying. So we can have a very bad attitude where we feel, well, I know, even when it comes to rejoicing, there are depths to some of those things. There are depths to it. When I first learned to rejoice, the very first time that I rejoiced in the Spirit was 27 years ago. Well, I must have done it unknowingly. But this one, I knew. I knew it. In fact, that day, we just watched a Catherine Kuhlman video. So, my friend said, he always brings Hagen things to us. He gave us the Word of Faith magazine and all that. You know, it's today that you can go on the net. In those days, it's one copy per state. Joking, but it's one person that will have one copy. Then we'll all go and meet the person. I remember the Amplified Translation. You know, of everybody that I knew, there was nobody who had the original version. In fact, the only one that was available to us, the College of Bishops, that's my friend, was a leather-bound one that Larry had. Larry Amuso, my friend. And so, he had that copy. That was the only copy he had. But before he got that copy, a guy used to have that copy down at Larkware. I walked to his house to read and jot down what I read. He said he couldn't release it. That is the Word of God special to him. So I took it. One time we were looking for Otherwise translation. We now got one. You know, very near Dubai, Ibadan. Only one of us got it. And so, and the way it will happen, we were all there looking for it. He just said, I found it. And we're chasing ourselves in Dubai. It was very funny. So that's why I said, okay, you read it for 1 week, I'll take it for 1 week, you know, and so on and so forth like that. That was an attitude. You know? An attitude. Now, I was saying that, now when I learned rejoicing, we just rejoice, glory, glory. Then, much later, in story, I found out that Jesus rejoiced and said. So that means that rejoicing can actually lead to depths of the gifts of the Spirit, that I can actually rejoice, then have an utterance. Then I looked at the agalios of Luke 1, that there was an utterance. I said, wow, that's interesting. That's interesting. You know? So, when I saw the Zephaniah 3:17, he rejoiced over us with singing. That means rejoicing is meant to be accompanied with utterance. Not just the glory, glory. And you know, by the time you say utterance, that means that it will lead to other things. So you can actually, you know, when it comes to laying on of hands too, in receiving it, you can actually get skillful. Skillful in the way you receive. Look at something. In Acts 9, look at what Jesus said to Ananias. He said, look, I told you on Sunday, there can be a revelation that will show you another revelation. Can you remember that on Sunday? Now, Ananias knew what Paul saw. What did Paul see? That he saw that you will come and put your hands on him. Why would Jesus inform someone that they will lay hands on you? That means there is also an attitude to laying on of hands. That is, he knew he will lay hands on me for. And when you look at the ministry of laying on hands, there is ordination to ministry. Why Paul says lay hands on no man? There's to healing, Mark 16, verse 17. Lay hands on the sick shall recover. You know, 18. But The truth is, there is an element of faith in how you receive. So just you being intelligent. So you're rejoicing. I now learned that rejoicing actually signifies something from an utterance gift and maybe a revelation gift. Hallelujah. So today I was watching one Winter Bible Seminar like that, 97 precisely. You know, I remember the day we watched that Winter Bible Seminar in someone's birthday. And we were just watching it. Tuji insisted we all had to watch it. So we watched it on someone's birthday. And as we saw the video, somehow, unplanned, it was a hall filled with people. We replayed what we saw. So I watched that video again today. And that memory just came back that you can actually consciously replay something. You know, the day of Pentecost is not meant to be in our albums. There can be meetings like that. I've seen a meeting very similar to that. We actually called it another Pentecost. Deliberately. Another Pentecost. Of course, there was a lot of information we had and all that. So, which means you can get better as you keep listening more. It is something you are going to listen to, just like divine healing. You will hear divine healing like you never heard it before. Don't say, I know that verse. You quote maybe Mark 5. Say it, take it. But you are sick now. You understand? That makes sense. That doesn't make sense for you to be proud. What are you proud over? I know this one, and I know that one. No. You can actually get better in the practice of the things of the Spirit. Like I'm going to teach you on Sunday. Maybe I'll extend it to Wednesday. How you can minister to people close to you, and how you can also receive ministry from people close to you. I have learned that. Sometimes people close to me, I'll ask them some questions. Unconsciously, they will tell me what the Holy Ghost is saying through them. I know how to ask the right questions. You can actually know how to receive from people around you. I mean, your wife, your daughter, your son, your friend, your to-be wife or to-be husband. You get it? There's a way you can receive that way. But you know, we're in a very interesting world where when you are dating, all they are teaching us is, what does she like best? What perfume? Let's go to Comoros Island. Let's go to Seychelles. Let's travel to Guantanamo Bay. That's a serious one. Let's go to Zambisa. You know, things that... You know, that's really what people think it's about. You know? But there's really more than that. Praise God. There's more than that. Yeah, there's romance, no doubt. And there's finance. But there's the Holy Ghost. There's the Holy Ghost. There's the Holy Ghost. There's the Holy Ghost part of what you are. There's the Holy Ghost. There's the Holy Ghost. Praise God. There's the Holy Ghost. There's the Holy Ghost into what you are doing. So, he says, I would have you grant. So Paul now laid the foundation and he spoke about what you can call the nine gifts of the Spirit. And he mentioned the nine. Then he now went further to say, you know what? He says, God has set them in the church, verse 28, 20, 28, 29, 30, 31. Firstly, apostles, secondly, prophets, thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, government, that's your tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers. Then he says, are all workers of miracles, do all have gifts of healings. Then he says, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret. Then he says, covet the earnest, the best gifts. Covet earnestly the best gifts. That's verse 31. Now, he now began to explain what he meant by, I want to have ignorance. Then when he got to chapter 14, which you saw last week, he said, yeah, you know, follow after charity. Then he says, desire spiritual rather or much more that you prophesy. So he now went into the details of what he was saying. Man, I want you to observe something very closely. Look at how many times between chapter 12 and 14 that tongues comes out, or come out, well, comes out, single word. In 12, he mentions tongues and diversities, and interpretation of tongues. Then again, in 28, he mentions diversity of tongues. Then in 30, do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? I want to check just one verse I didn't quote. So I don't want to quote the wrong one. 12:10. Actually, that's what I heard, man. Now, then in 13, when he was going to start 13 again, he says, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, of course, that's figurative. Like, he wants to talk about tongues, but he now uses human language. Now, then he says, tongues will cease. He mentions it again. Then in 14, verse 2, he mentions tongues. Verse 4, he mentions tongues. Verse 5, he mentions tongues. Of course, the narrative from verse 6 to verse 11 was about tongues. Then verse 14 or 13, then into 14, tongues. Okay? Then 15, tongues. Then he talks about, I speak with tongues more than you all, 18. Then he mentions how tongues is a sign, you know, in 21 and 22. 23, when you come together and everybody speaks with tongues. Then he gets to 26, when you come together and each one of you, he mentions, has a tongue. In 27, if any speak with tongues. 31, forbid not to speak with tongues. That means, if there's something you should get right, it should be tongues. Is overwhelming. And noticing that, there is no more elaborate explanation of the gifts of the Spirit in Christian meetings than those chapters, chapter 12 to 14. And he has a loud mention on tongues. A loud mention on tongues. Hallelujah. So, look at something he says in 14:2. If any speak in an unknown tongue, in the King James, italicized, he speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands. Albeit where? In the Spirit. In the Spirit. Do you know that there is no other, except in the walk in the Spirit and information like that, there is no other place Paul literally says that, look, you determine how to get in the Spirit like this. In the Spirit is fixed mysteries. Look at that 14. If I pray with tongues, my spirit prays. 15. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the interpretation. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with interpretation. Hells, when you bless with the Spirit, in 16, how shall he that occupies more of the land say amen at the time? Given that, seeing that he understands not what you say, thou verily give thanks well. Look at the fact that he says tongues is in the Spirit. Which means, if really I value the supernatural, I should value tongues. If in the Spirit is in the supernatural, then I ought to value tongues. I ought to value tongues. I ought to value, I ought to value all gifts of the Spirit. I'm just putting this emphasis this evening. I ought to value tongues. Because of the kind of emphasis that Paul just put in it. I ought to value tongues. I ought to value tongues. I ought to value tongues in my private capacity. I ought to value tongues in the meetings. Because it says in the Spirit. in the Spirit or in the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. So I can have adventures and exploits in the Spirit by tongues. Hallelujah. You know we ought to place that value on it again and again. That value. That value again and again. On tongues. Something is very shrouded in your mind. You are not sure why a member of your church or a disciple is behaving one kind. You are not sure where something is going the way it's going. You know what? Your mind doesn't have an answer. But you know what? You can get the answer in the Spirit. You can. You can get the answer where? In the Spirit. So, why not? I mean, a smart person who has such a dilemma will practically make sure that all his prayers, maybe that week, is in tongues. All his worship is in tongues. He will stay long enough, he will get the answers. Some guys wonder, oh, how come we come to meetings? And then it's like, how come there's just this ease of flow? I tell people that the fact that we endeavor a lot to pray in tongues, when we now come together, we often see the result of what we're praying about. When you find a congregation that their needs are always carnal, watch the flow of the Holy Ghost. It's come and go. Their needs are always, their emphasis is always carnal. I've told you, there is a price to pay when you are giving yourself to entertainment. There is a price to pay. And that price will be a devaluing of the things of the Spirit. Like I said last week, there is a practice. A practice. Do something. Let me give you a test. Next week, we are going to fast as a church. Try and stay up except for work. Okay? You know? And if it's possible, if you can get a leave, just a practice of something. Stay off things natural as much as you can. Say, okay, your favorite maybe TV program, don't watch it. Just do a lot of praying in tongues. Do a whole lot of singing in tongues. You're already fasting. So you're putting your body a lot under. Now, you will see the kind of experience you will have. See, it's simple arithmetic. It's not difficult. It's simple arithmetic. It is. Now, I know that for some of us, some people have stayed away from you. They felt you were getting too spectacular, too supernatural, too spooky and all that. And you now try to balance it so that at least your body will not be glorified yet. But you know something? Don't overbalance it. They eventually will meet. Okay, I'll give you an instance. My dad, when we were growing up, he was the one that, younger boys and girls, he made us pray. In fact, if he asked us to pray, you pray because it was Yoruba prayer. And we're not so good in Yoruba. In the midst of prayer, say, is that how to pray? In the midst of the prayer. And also praying to the Lord. Then you have his own prayer. My Lord and my God, he's eating and praying that nonsense prayer. Then he will pray. But when I met the Lord, I got the ministry, he now was afraid of my prayer life. You know, he now saw that this boy that he was trying to make to pray for, how many minutes was that devotion? 20 minutes. It just looked like a whole day because we had slept late. So when they woke us up in the morning for that morning devotion, he felt like, oh my God, this is eternity. But it was just 20 minutes. Now, he now saw someone leave the house 1 a.m., come back at 6, he went to pray. He now got scared. He really got scared. Now, what I was saying is, of course, we had our vows, but something was unique. He said something one day. He asked me a question. And I said, he said, you know why? I know you will tell me what really God must be saying. He said, you know, you don't watch movies. You don't have girlfriend. You don't play around with all your cousins. You must be hearing from God. You see, people are very smart. They know. Then I've changed. Ah! You will get irritated. I'll let you know I was talking in tongues. You will know that's what I'm doing. I mean, good morning. I said, morning. Say, any problem? You will hear me literally. But you know what? Everybody needs that extreme. So you will get a hold of it well. A hold of it. Me, I'm trying to see and know. I don't have time for you. So he called me. There was a day like that. I said, my brother was ill. He said, come. So I'm going to say, no, we can't have you in this house. Somebody is falling sick. Bring your hand, just your hand. I mean, you know, because they know that it's just being smart. That if somebody prays like this, fast like this, and I'll fast 180 days. I don't know how to fast 1 day, 2 days. Here we go. If I fast for 1 day, I feel like I've sinned. 1 day? Minimum, just brief fast, 2 weeks. Regular fast, 30 days. I want to fast 60 days. That's a believer. And he knew. So he just knew that if someone can be given to things like this, he will know the things of the Spirit. Of course, his dad was a prophet, so I guess he saw a bit of that. So the point is, if you do this, just see how it goes. And you just stayed off natural things for that period. And stayed with prayer, fasting, the word. You will see how easy it will be. There is this thing Brother Hagin teaches. Now, I won't teach it that way. You know, I say that often. But it's something I will teach, but not the same way he will teach it. That the Holy Ghost in us, or the Holy Ghost is like a cup that is full. But because when we go into the world, we interact with natural things, and somehow, like the cup, you know, goes down. That's why we need refillings. Now, you see, you may not like that explanation, but you know it's true. You know it's true. Our interactions, you know, it's like almost like you are losing spiritual power. That's not what's going on. But you are getting more focused in the natural. So there should be things that get you on the edge. And you should know those things. You should know them. You should never not know those things. That, look, I've had 2 weeks of office work. And we had timelines. I know when you have timelines at the office, they can almost take your salvation. And you are at it. You almost get home and everybody feels the glory of your presence of anger. Of course, not in this church. We don't get angry here. Amen. But I'm saying, you're just like, what is it? Ah, what is it? Can I know? It's office that is the issue. And they are telling you, there's a board meeting on Friday, is what you are going to present, or you are expecting a result from somewhere, you submitted a contract proposal, and they said, we'll get back to you. Say, why not now? Say, don't you understand English? I found something, I was out of the country. A guy now told me, come back on Tuesday. Me in Nigeria. It was a Thursday. And I was serving back. I said, oh boy, can't I get it tomorrow? He looked at me like I sinned. He said, sir, that's your official policy. I said, I know now. But then, he said, excuse me, sir. Good day. I said, what's wrong with him? So this is just to sign. You can do it in, what does it take? I was just arguing, man. What's the big deal? You know, I'm in Nigeria. Tuesday said, you know to sign? Oh, boy, I know a human being. Pity me now. In fact, last week, my grandmother died 2 weeks ago. That's a Nigerian. I begin to be sentiment. That's it. So, in fact, if I don't get this thing, I don't even know. My children may not eat, and there's a lot of problem. Okay, let me see what I can do. That's Nigerian. I did not even get here. Okay, so there's no pressure on you. You now become, of course, you do your morning devotion. You do the prayer chain monotonously. Just call Pastor Jakes or Pastor Larry and pray. You're actually praying the clock. 4:35 since. For 37 and a half. Even I won't. But just you might be able to say, what's this prayer for, sir? The same prayer point is in prayer group. It's how we open the service. Let me just do it so that I won't be feeling bad when they are teaching commitment and sincerity. by 5:29, you've listened your hands already. No, 5:25. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. How many of you want to worship for 5 minutes? Yeah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. I think that you're already going to the bathroom. Hallelujah. Glory. So, you're already monotonous. You get it? So, you may really have to break out of that mold. There should be some things you do. You do. When they say there's a camp meeting, there's a believers convention, there's a Holy Ghost meeting, there's a zonal Holy Ghost meeting. There's a way we go about these things. You should be skillful. You know the way some people know how to drive, and they can drive with no headlamp on Lagos Ibadan Express. That's an expert. Some people know. There was a guy, a fellow, who is a member of this church, who drove me and some folks from Ibadan to Lagos under 35, 37 minutes. And it was at night. When I called, I think, I said, we're leaving Ibadan. She said, hey, tonight. I said, yes. So, when I called her, like, we're 7 of, she said, which of them? I said, the one in Lagos. She said, where did you call me that? I said, Ibadan. I said, ha! You know, there's some. See, you can be that of an expert in the Holy Ghost. That, even if it's rough, you know what you do. You know what to do. If you see an atheist, you should be an expert in how to flow with the Holy Ghost. You should be. If you, in those circumstances, be an expert. Be someone who knows what he or she should do. That I know what gets me on the edge. I know what. If I some people, it could just be a meeting that if they attend this particular meeting, they'll get their spiritual mojo back. But the point is, know that practice very well and don't play with it. If you know that keeping up at night, now I grew up as a person of the night, you know, and it was very simple. When I heard Kenneth Hagin say he was a man of the night, I heard two other people I respect say, the people of the night, that they stay up late a lot. I said, what are you using your life for? You know, some things you just say, there's no need to go and study it and say I'm different. I'm not different though. I said, what is your life for now? What do you want to do with your life? What are you sleeping at night like an idiot? That was years ago, not now. I said, okay, still, you stay up late. If you know those things, that when you stay up late, you are a bit sharper. You are just sharp. You are sharp. You can literally leave out meetings that you minister in. Or minister at. Literally. You can. You can literally leave out things. So, be at that edge. So, when Paul says desire, look at that word well. The word is to be zelo. You are at a boiling point. Why do you think that one of the symbolic imageries of the Holy Ghost is fire? And look at the day of Pentecost. Tongues like as of fire. Why do you think so? That means the tongues were not whispers. They must have been fire. Look at it on that day of Pentecost. Suddenly sound, mighty rushing wind filled all the house. cloven tongues like as of fire. Spiritual health is contagious. You can't be full of the Holy Ghost and people will not know. It's not possible. It's not possible. So, you can actually master the practice of these things. Notice the first things I said. Make sure you do not devalue them. Don't devalue them. Oftentimes, when believers travel abroad or leave their local churches and have to go to a place, maybe they have to change country, change nations, or change location. No matter how zealous they are, if they attend a place where they play down, in fact, somebody told me something. He said, "Sir, I attended this church 2 weeks." He said, "Not a single syllable in tongues." So what do I do? I said, "Run for dear life." And like Lot's wife, don't look back. It's just the truth. He said, "No, 2 weeks." Nobody even mistakenly said something in front. "I'm sorry." How did you have a service? A full service, 2 weeks. The pre-service prayers were no tongues. The intra-service prayers, no tongues. The pastor did not even by mistake say something in tongues. Those who led worship just said, "Ga, ga, 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 ga." Put your hands together. Oh, oh. You see, they're putting their hands together, truly. You heard the service, no utterance. 2 weeks. After a while, you just sit down and say, "And I enjoyed the service, though. Without tongues. And not much, but you will still see the Holy Ghost move." Ha. Ha. So say, I still felt the presence of God. In spite of the fact that there was no tongue addition. Eh? Go and write Acts 29. You are trying. You are trying. How? So you begin to reason that way. That, you know, after a while, you just say, "Hey, this is how church should be. This is how church should be." And you say, "Next week we're bringing in the Secretary General of the United Nations. He's also a believer, mind you. He's going to tell us about international relations, you know, how believers can rule the world, even though they remove him next month. Easily rule the world. Tell me a believer that stayed on anything forever. I've heard you." So the guys come and he say, "This is kingdom." He will take the Bible and he won't just twist it. You know, when you twist, it's still good. He will cook scriptures. He will put Maggi. He will say, "You see, you know, where are the babies of this generation?" Just raise your hand. You see, you are finished. Where are the babies to approach the Goliath of finance? The Goliath of the health sector. The Goliath of the woo, woo, woo. You see? You are blessed. See how far you are going. But you know, the assembly must be full of the Holy Ghost. They were all. Hallelujah. They were all. So there is such a thing about knowing what works for you. I told someone, I said, "Let me tell you. If you know that association has kept you this far, in any decision you are going to take, put association first. If association has kept you this far, and you know, if they left me on my own, I won't backslide, I'll backflip." You knew it. And then someone say, someone now gives you, "I just sense God is, oh God, God is not saying that." You know, you have to know these things well. How it works. Desire. 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 Today, how often did you remember to talk in tongues? Today. Not in the service. Today. So, in the practice of these things, start by timing yourself. And ask yourself, "Hey, have you spoken in tongues 10 hours today? 5 hours today?" You can time yourself. You can time yourself. You can time yourself. You know, there's a whole lot of noise all over the place about weight loss. Weight loss. Weight loss. They say you should now start running. Start running. Bible says only anybody who runs and nobody is pursuing is a wicked man. You now start running. I am running. I am running. You will have Facebook life. I'm running. My stomach is coming down. I am doing it. I am timing yourself. I am going all over the place. I am running. I am running. I am showing what you are now eating. That looks like a lost dinner. bitter herbs. It's good. But why not also apply the same rule for spiritual things? Look at my weight in the carnality. Oh my, put on weight. There's no movie I don't know. There's no song I don't know. There's no slang I don't understand. You know that's weight. You are actually adding weight. And you say, even to wake up and pray these days. You know, some believers are very anointed. They'll set alarm and put it up themselves. Now, I don't use alarms. I can't remember the last time. I've never even used it for anything. I don't use alarms. I told myself, if the human seed born again cannot wake me up, forget about it. So when I say I'm going to wake up, I'll wake up. I don't use alarms. I just tell myself, I'm going to wake up before 2. And I'll say, I'll sleep, I'll wake up, and I'll wake up. Miss, I don't use alarms. No, I'm not told to do that. Then I say, Pastor, that's the problem. Well, some guys will put on an alarm, and then they'll go, no, you are putting on weight. You speak in tongues and your mouth starts shaking. And like you are tired. You are putting on weight. Now it's time to do those exercises again. And say, you know what? Shevon, the next 2 hours, you won't talk to anybody but talk in tongues. You are practicing. Today, that's tomorrow, Thursday. I'll ensure that at least 8 hours will be in tongues. In the morning, I'll do 3. In the afternoon, I'll do 2 during the break. Somehow, between meals and between activity, I can do 1. In the evening, I'll do another 1. Before I sleep, 1. You can start doing that. What are you doing? You are staying on the edge. Somebody will need it. See, I believe that in eternity, we will find people's problems that we should have had solutions that passed us by because we were in the flesh. I believe the greatest judgments will be those who will go to hell because we didn't tell them anything. Those who, you know, because we're just not keen in the spirit. And we just allow things, we're more particular about ourselves and stuff like that. But go back to what I was saying. So, there is a practice. Get used to spiritual realities. Spiritual realities. Know that when you speak in tongues and pray in tongues, there are answers in the spirit. Say, there are answers in the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You notice that when we had the short meetings earlier on, who noticed that as you prayed more in tongues, it's like you had something, you were inquiring something. Who noticed that? You were like, yeah, exactly. Now, imagine 2 hours of that. How would people not have visions? How would you not have them? How would you not? You know, and you know what helps you in church is that it has a churchy feeling. Why at home we don't have it often is because we probably just do it like an activity. But you know, you can reproduce the same atmosphere. That's why I almost find it is so. I love praying alone. I love it. I love it. You know, it detaches a lot of things. A lot. A lot. Thank God for corporate prayers that we must. But make a practice of honoring God's spirit alone. Alone. There's nobody there. So, you are just, you know, pressing, you know, stirring the things of God in the spirit. Hallelujah. So stay on the edge all the time. Look at something. Look at the house of Cornelius. You know, there was something spectacular about that. Well, not spectacular, but supernatural.
while Peter yet spake. That means those guys were on the edge. The Holy Ghost fell. They broke protocol. While Peter yet spake. They just broke protocol. And so, both Peter and his team were astonished while he spoke. That means they were, like I gave you last week, they were like this. Almost like, oh yeah. Look at Acts 19. As he said those things to them, he laid hands on them, verse 6, and the Holy Ghost came on them, they prophesied. Look at Acts 8 in Samaria. Look at Paul. As Ananias laid hands, it happened. There's an being on the edge. Now, if you have been in Holy Ghost meetings many times, and in a church where they pray with the Holy Ghost, you have to battle the familiarity complex. You almost know we are going to hold hands. You almost know they are going to tell us, expect the supernatural. Expect a freshness of the Holy Ghost. You know, just say, well, today, there will be a fresh flow of the Holy Ghost. As we minister one to another, there will be a fresh flow. You know, don't have a familiarity complex. Be on the edge. Be on the edge. Be ready. Hallelujah. Be ready. In fact, I like what a friend of mine taught me. In fact, one of the things he said to me, he said, when it comes to the ministry, TJ, he told me, he said, don't get ready, live ready. In fact, in those days, I used to say it often, live ready. Just be ready. Be ready that they can call you at any time to raise the dead. Be ready that they can call you at any time to lay hands on somebody who is almost gone. Be ready at any time you could be called that someone just had a mental condition. Be ready at any time. Now, if you knew that in a day you could be called upon to raise 5 dead, heal 5 who are blind, you could be called upon to deliver somebody from the throes of death, how would you live? If you knew that God will want you to show the signs of the gospel to people every day of your life, how would you live? If you knew that, oh, you know what? In a day, at least 10 people must either get healed, get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, or have a word from God from me, how would you live? How would you eat? How would you sleep? How would you fast? How would you study the word? How would you live? Now, that's what it means to be on the edge. See, there is nothing odd about being supernatural in your orientation. There's nothing odd about it. If anything, because we are not of this world, it's likely that people will look at you like you are strange. But there's nothing odd about it. See, the new birth is supernatural. The incarnation is supernatural. The life of Jesus was supernatural. His death was supernatural. His burial was. His resurrection and ascension were supernatural. The new birth, walking in the Spirit is supernatural. Spiritual growth is supernatural. So we are not ashamed of being supernatural. Hallelujah. No, we are not. We are not ashamed of being ahead of the natural. No, we are not. We are not. We actually love it. We want it. Hallelujah. We love it. You know, there is really nothing wrong. Even in natural, logical decisions, you chose to just pray in tongues about it. Oh, look, it's something you can just, it's just, you know, yes, I know. As you are checking things out in the natural, you know, you can also be supernatural about it. You can be supernatural about it. And very supernatural about it. You know, look at the revelation gifts, for example. You know, look at how they came often. They came to people when they were praying, Acts 2. They came when Peter went up to pray, Acts 10. There's something about having a fervent prayer life. It's in the practice of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I'll close here. It's in the practice of the Spirit. Amen. And you know, the revelation gives, can give us the leeway to having the tangible display of God's power, where literally God's power will be felt in the natural. On Sunday, I taught a lot about revelation gifts. Can get the material when they are out, you know. And I said a few things to us that it's not all the time. They are always delightful things. Sometimes they are caution. Sometimes they are warnings. You know, yeah. And tangible things. Tangible things. In fact, for me, it got to a point, I just told myself that if I continue like this, it will be too telling. So I had to change how I ministered by revelation gifts. It could be somehow, it could be very, very funny, you know. But you know something, even at that, you can maintain that glow. Yeah, you can. Don't be ashamed that you are always in the Spirit. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. You see, there's coming a time you'll be known for it, and people will know where to seek for help. Woe betide us if we need to bring in a minister to minister to the sick. That means something is wrong. Woe betide us if we need to bring in a minister who will prophesy and minister by the Holy Ghost. That means we are done for. It will never happen in this church. It will never happen. See, the usher will be able to do it. Everybody will be. Just like we are. Woe betide us. It won't be something that is for entertainment or out of this world. No. 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 Hallelujah. You know, you can literally walk into visions and revelations. I'm talking to you. Literally. You can. You know, you can. Literally. You know, by laying on of hands, you can see and know. You can. You will see things now. You will see things just by laying on of hands. You will see things now. Yep. Supernaturally granted appearances. Yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You can. At the camp meeting, when hands are laid on people, they will see visions. More people will. In their thousands, they will. It will be a peculiar feature of the camp meeting. Many will be introduced to the trances of the Spirit. Again, I tell pastors, you know, you can be doing pastor in a meeting. Don't do pastor. Do believer. Do believer. You know, you can step up your flow of the Holy Ghost. They can be stepping up where more things will happen. You ought to be on the increase. You ought to be on the increase. Who am I talking to here? Yeah. You ought to be on the increase. You ought to be on the increase. You ought to be on the increase. Oh, yeah. You ought to be on the increase. Yeah. You ought to be on the increase. Yeah, on the increase. On the increase. On the increase. It's granted unto you. Yeah, it is. You ought to be on the increase. There's an increase. Yes, there's an increase. Yeah. Glory, glory. Glory to God. 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 Glory, glory to God. 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 You know, you can have five people filled with the Holy Ghost in 1 minute.
You sought for it, right? It's yours now. It's yours now. Yeah, in 1 minute.